That makes me nervous. Namaste, everybody. I'm Uma. I work in Upasana. If some of you do not know me, right now I'm going to talk about more of a personal experience, what I went through last 10 days, or now it's 2 weeks. I was in Brussels in a very short notice and participated in a workshop which was for the top corporate managers. So it was for me a bit of a surprise why I was taken over there. Why should be I participate in a workshop like that? And what happened after? It all started with the last governing board meeting. I was talking to Mark Luix, and I was talking to him about the social business we want to create, or we have been planning of, and I wanted to make a presentation to governing board member. And then he talked about saying, Auroville must participate in management, the future management. And he already had thought about it. He already had thought a name about it. He called it Auroville International Institute of Management. He had already met Professor Raya from Pondicherry University, head of department management, and they had already met together. And Mark was, when he was telling me, I said, but why are you telling me all that? I don't understand. He said, I'm listening to you, so you got to listen to me. And after that, he said that somebody like who has done social projects, has run business and knows management part of it, has a capacity to think in that direction, and Auroville being a kind of the place where a lot of things is getting experimented, he wanted me to be part of AIM, and it came as a surprise to me. I said, I've not been part of education. Then he said, then so it be now. So it was a very strange thing, and for me it was an honor to be able to hear that from Mark. And I was in Pondi, met Professor Raya over there. We had a very good meeting, and it is honor for me to have been listening all the thoughts. And there was a concept note already on AIM, and I've been reading through that and looking at what it is a person like me can contribute to it. And one day I was in Pondi where my mobile rang, and Mark says, you are coming to Brussels next week, say yes. So I said, like, no, do I have a choice? Then he said, you have a choice to cancel it, but I say yes on behalf of you. And that's what it happened. And he said, it was not 1 week, it was 1 month. And one of the messages. And then there was a mail, and they were just saying there's one sponsorship had been confirmed, and one participant will come from Auroville, and she is Uma. When I got this mail, I said, oops, now this is getting serious. Then after that, India director calls up and saying, I want to know about AIM from you. So I called up Professor Ryan saying, what should I say? So, like, it was as forced as it can be. And finally, everything worked out together. I flew from Bombay on a 4 hours notice. 2 o'clock, I had a visa, and same night, I was flying. And so, kind of, okay, it all happens. Went to Brussels, and this is a place, outskirt of Brussels, almost 200 kilometer. It is a stud farm, I would say, horse farm. There, loads of horses were living over there, and they were taking care of them, and they were trying a lot of things, being very, very intuitive with the horses, and they were trying experiment which we don't even think about doing it in a level of telepathy and things like that. So that was still our venue. It's not that they had anything to do with a workshop, but this atmosphere where temperature was 7, for me it was a very bad thing, but it was okay. I was with the 4 layers of woolen, and it was very well received. We sat through, met people who were participating. We had a 3 coach who were with us, and we were only 5 participants. 3 top managers for the company who has sponsored that. 1 from Auroville is me, and that is also sponsored by the company in India. Directors, UCB, it's a pharmaceutical company who really want to take their company into new horizon. And Mark said, meet someone from Auroville. That will give you a ground. And also that being in India, that's a good partnership. So that's the way story unfolded. And there we had 1 manager coming from US. Very capable people. I somehow was not very sure how much should I say and what should I say and what not should I say. It all went off very, very nice, and day began next early morning. We were, no, rather same evening, we were taken through a process where everybody has to get into clips here, there, and computer was monitoring stress level on the heart region in the managers who are there. And they said, I said, what are you doing? What are your program is registering? He says, I'm just monitoring your stress level in your body. I said, but you know, I seem to be quite okay, but I'm not okay. Okay, leave me alone. He said, no. You can say whatever you want to, but your body never lies. That was my first learning. And they are management trainers, and they are talking a language which I was just was astonishing and saying, okay, your body never lies. Go ahead, you know, but I can tell you before that I'm off there. It was a good exercise. We went through, everybody has to go through that. They never really shared that. They were never talking about it publicly. They were very, very respectful for everybody around over there. Next day morning, we were taken to different management thoughts, which is happening internationally. We talked about Cartesian approach. We talked about what is going on in the planet, how top companies are really looking at themselves. And then we had, that was only mind session. And then suddenly they said, now onwards we don't talk about, we will not use this part of the body. So we still didn't know what to do. So we said, okay, fine, that's all fine. And so being over here, it was very beautiful. We were going for a walk and there was a black panther from a ruin in France was out in Belgium that time, and he was in that region. So we were told not to go out, and everybody was in the radio saying, where is the black panther now? And then manager said, but we are from India, let's go and say hello to him and all that. It was quite a hilarious scene, and the cook said, wait, breakfast time, it's all fine. But the black panther, you know, any news about it? Who went out? And it was hilarious. But we had so many horses, there was no black panther over here there. Then we had, like, this is what our way to, the door takes us to the conference room, and this side to go up in our room was, this is the passage. So every day for many times, we were crossing lots of horses just looking at you. It was very intimate to have that. For me, it was very powerful. I've never been with horses. Then I met Valerie, and she just looked at me and she said, Uma, you are off balance. And that was such a shock. I said, wow, that's quite a line. And you know, what a line to get it into being in Europe, in Brussels, in all the cold. And lady, she's one of our trainers who was not an active trainer, but she was managing the show. She just looked at it and said, Uma, you are off balance. So I said, okay, can I have a glass of water now? This was... There was nothing, it was just a line she maybe mentioned, or why did she do that, I have no idea. We had, food was very well designed, everything was organic, there was fat content was decided, it was kept as soothing and quiet as it can be. They said, we want your body to function its most relaxed system. And so some of the manager, they were saying, but can we have some spices, which is somehow like Indian, and all this was going on in the background. But most of the time, the salads were organic. There was a steamed vegetable. Or if they asked us whether anybody is very much into non-veg or not. And most of the time, people said no, they were vegetarian. So the food was very conscious. There was discussion when the mind level discussion was going on, and then Liu Gilbert is one of our trainers. He's talking about that earlier society when wisdom used to be in the center of the society. Right now, economy is in the center. People who rule the economy, they are in the center. And they are the whole world fate is decided by people who have power of economy. And if that economy is managed by people. So we are talking about co-center with the key people saying, what are you managing? So that was, we didn't know they will say that later, but that's the thing that he was drawing a spiral and saying, right now economy is in the center of the universe where the power is focused. He said, can we think about a planet where wisdom will be in the center? Some of the participants, And they were these people who were over there. They all has a big area of work, and they are used to working the how corporate sector functions, and they have a big profiles, and everybody was in the BlackBerry all the time except me. My phone didn't even work over there. And I was not even expecting either. I called up, I wrote to our telephone service saying, phone is not working. You said it's international roaming is on. It's, oh, but you know, you come back, we will see. Whatever. But I was like, all this manager was constantly like, so they had to tell them that saying, just relax, let's take it easy for 3 days. He is UCB India Director Charles, and he is also responsible for being me over there, and it is this company who has sponsored the whole trip. So after the workshop was finished, Charles came down to Brussels to look at what was their managers were up to. After that, our trainer took us to a big hall. It was very cold. They put the wind warmer, that lamp kind of thing, the huge one, and to heat up the room. And we were given 20 minutes to stand on that, and everybody says, you know, don't go, look, we finish it in 2 minutes, no problem. So he said, no, you have 20 minutes, just try to stand and balance yourself on the beam. And we just looked at each other saying, how hilarious it can be, you know, this is a serious workshop, let's do something very serious. And he just says, stand on the beam, and that also for 20 minutes. So we said, it's okay, let's try and give him and finish it off. So we all stood. Nobody could balance. Nobody could balance. Everybody, we had to stand. You stand, and after that, you have to come down within seconds because you are not standing. Then he said, I want you to find your inner balance. And it was so quiet. And the way he said it, it took us 20 minutes to realize that we were off balance. And surely by 20 minutes, everybody was biting their nails, and managers, they are the top people who just want to hit the target. And there was such a simple target to stand on the beam, and nobody could achieve that. They just felt so humiliated. But that was not the purpose. And Luke said, okay, now let's talk about methodology. How do we get there? Where is the center of a power in your body? And he said, that's your center, the hara. In chakra's tradition, it will be between your first and the second chakra, and it's the center, but it's not second chakra. And we were like, hello, we have to even talk about chakras in the middle of the management today? And everybody was bit. But he said, we're not talking any of this. We are just balancing on the beam. Can you balance yourself? Let's try balancing. And that had been, we used to stand on the beam, no, the block next to it. You look at this guy. He has never meditated in his life. He is just a manager, IAM product who just runs around and drives everybody nuts. And this guy is just trying to stand on the beam. And his concentration level is so intense. It was not because they kind of... He would not move. Like 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes... And Abhi is standing. I said, Abhi, can we do something? He's not even
paralyzed.
And then he would just come and try to do this. She's the manager. She's from US. And she was, to make that, look at that, the beam has been, there's a square beam put into the round beam. Eventually to give a little bit of a support to body to stand. And she's even that, she's totally center. Nobody was hearing. There was a pin drop silence. Morning meditation says, focus, you're preparing yourself to find your body balance, and your body never lies. If you're off balance, you're off balance. And after what they did, they took one of the beam like that, they made a stand vertically, and the other participant has to hit on the beam from here to here onwards. Here onwards, rather. We were given 3 minutes. We just went and hit. It was a good game. But after that, what happened, that half of us could stand on the beam. And it was the level of success was 50% more. It just in 1 3-minute exercise. And he said, you think, I feel that your body is learning to remember where your center is. And then he said, climb again. Then he went off and we had a lunch and all that was going on. But this thing of being on and off, and that put everybody into this whole retrospection that where we are, and we can't even come to a very small thing just standing on a beam. Nobody's saying stand there for 1 hour, even for 5 minutes, but 5 minutes was a stretch of time which was like unending. And we were so like 5 seconds, 10 seconds, and that was our target, which nobody was able to cross a minute. So Abhi became a very good meditator after. I think he still continues. I don't know. He does that. When we somehow managed to stand, then he asked all the participants, now two of you come on the same, and he gave us a balloon saying, play. What? Everybody was dead serious. Look at the picture. Nobody is talking. Just very fact of it. You can't manage yourself. Then you have a balloon to manage, which is so heavy. And after that, the person, and you have to throw on that, and the person has to give you back. It was just hell of exercise. And it took us already 2 days, was already passed. This was one of the final things. So we were, after so much of a hard work, one of the finale was that we had to stand. So everybody was all the time there. One will be stand there, one time stand there. But preparing and preparing hard to come to the beam, and finally the ball throws you out. And I have a clippings which is just few seconds, and it shows how it went. It was really, but by that time, it made all of us very humble. Nobody speaking much. All the managers were rather keeping quiet. They were listening all haras and chakras and meditation also. They didn't mind it. Nobody was minding things they would have mind otherwise. So he's he looks very serious manager to me. He was also, and he's constantly doing all kind of things. But he was really, really trying to make that move. Now this is for Abhi, is the greatest achievement in his life that he's in the center. He's always either off or standing on the beam. We were taken to archery. I got really scared. That was like, I don't claim for any physical strength. So I thought, my God, me, this much size, a thin girl coming from India, I've never done archery. What? I've never shot anything. Even I can't even catch a... if somebody throws me a key. So I thought that would be really a bad scene, and you come all the way to Europe to experience that. I'm very sure 500% that I can never succeed in anything. And that was, I had no escape. I could have just hided under my bed, I don't know what, but there was no escape. Everybody had to do it. And everybody was brought in, me trembling physically. I was very nervous that day. More of that, maybe I was a bit proud of myself and let go of that. And accept that you can't do it, it's very hard. And over there, it was like, already they said that you are off balance. So I was like, hello, this is not this, not that. Tried everything, did not work. Luke said, Uma, just come on. Just come and be there. So what we noticed over there, that as a female, we are also not designed to shoot. Body does not know that. At least the Asian body does not know that. I discovered a day after, we are always into this mode. Either we are nurturing or caring or serving. So we are not in this. So the body, there's a stretch, you need to have it, which is, this is needed, I didn't have. That was, and I was quite surprised that I didn't have that stretch. To how do you align and you shoot? And before that, your body has to know that. They said, it's your primal instinct. I'm just calling for your primal instinct. I said, but my body does not have it. And only I noticed in the next day, I did the shoot and everything, and they taught me all the body language, and they really kind of went point by point. I had a strong blister of this kind, black. Next time when I came to the room, I couldn't shoot, not because I was scared inside. My body did not cooperate. It was always bending to protect itself. And I had to say, why do you have a masculine way of centering? Why do you have a processes which is not feminine? And why do you force me into that look? It's not fair. And he just listened and he said, take it easy. Even he's still like, he was very gentle, but he would just say, And then they tied a piece of belt, which is most of the archer, serious archer, they wear it. But first, I didn't have it. So when I pulled it, I pulled the string, which went on my body all the time, and I had to shot maybe 100 times. And by that time, I had a huge blister. Then I checked out with the other girl who was also, although she was from US, she was from the Asian origin. And she had exactly the same. And that became very serious thing. She said, not all the female has it, but then we were checking, then is it Asian? It's something, there's something there in the cultural context. So we had to protect that. But the whole thing of when one has to load the arrow and when you're really pulling it up and that moment to chant Om inside you, he said the most powerful sound can make you centered. And unless you are centered, you're nowhere. And then when we are shooting, he said it does not really matter where are you shooting, what is happening to the target, because that's irrelevant. What is happening to you? What is the level of focus you have within yourself, and how the centering inside you will mark the centering outside you, and you can also determine that. He was using that power of intention, and he said, make an intention where you want your arrow to go. Then later he said, your target is at the tip of your arrow. It's here. See it. Physically, it might be 50 meters ahead, but it's here right now. See it. Then one time he said, we had to turn while we were preparing and we were looking this side. He said, see your arrow this side. So the IAM guy, he freaked out saying, look, this is totally irrational. I'm not buying it. I will shoot somewhere else. But he was talking in such a metaphoric language, although that he had been in the middle of whole management thing, but his language was very different. Finally, we had to take this deep breath, and we started with the four layers of woolen, but we ended with two. And it was quite a nervous scene, so everybody was pretty much centered or so on. What we had to learn was to recognizing one's own inner potentiality. And that was a practice. Checking out the dimension that what is the level of attention span we hold. So one at a time, we had a 15 arrow in our belt, and we had to take one by one and shoot. And the final direction of all the arrows will mark where the direction you hold it. He said, one you shot, and maybe it's in the center, but that's not the point. What happens to the rest of it? Your bioreason around you, the place, the company, the country, the state, the atmosphere, the planet you are in, what happens to them? You're not one. And then that lesson of that we belong to universal energy field, and there is no difference. So when that was physically talked, it just kind of, there was a lot of flip happening. And saying it's not, we're not talking about one arrow, we're not talking about even the hitting in the center, because that's not the point. Point is, at large, where you are. And one time we had to really experience that we were standing, and 35 meters ahead was our target, and our body's intention has to touch the target and cross it physically. So we don't know how big we became in the energy field, and that was what was the language was getting spoken. But all of us had to do it. He says, your target is within your body range now. Extend, expand, expand, expand. So when we talk about widening the consciousness in our integral yoga, he just didn't say it like that, but his consciousness of widening was inclusive of your own target, and that target can be anything. That's it. That's not important. So finally, the one other interesting point was where whole batch was going, not the one. And one point by third day that somebody like me have never done the archery and was so extremely physically, emotionally nervous. On third day, that arrows were fighting with the steel sound around it. It was all hitting after one after another. And that really blew me off in person. Still, still he would say that make sure even in the thought level your centering of your being does not shake, because that will shake the target. He said, we are not talking about physical centering. And then he said, now try to, when you're shooting the target, make that intentional, just close your eyes. Your physical eye does not even matter anymore. And that was even like nobody of us could dare to think like that. Now Luke speaking, overhead transmission is just bypass. But then there was one process when that happened and the whole of the centering went on. He came person to person and he said, you know what? Try to experience that you and the bow and the arrow and the target, there's no difference. I said, wow, that's... But he said it when we were already very deep into process of getting the target, this one. And he was always giving a new target. So the third day when we thought, like, now it's over, Luke had another idea and he said, and he's just telling, he's like mantra given to you in New Year, nobody else supposedly hearing, and everybody was getting their own target. And then he says, see, it's all one, and it's one. And by end of it, it was 6:00, I think it was already 5:36 in the evening, and we were shooting the last range. And suddenly that, I went into a thing that the whole body, especially this over here, was a warmth, a sense of gladness, and my eye has tears, and I said, look, I cannot shoot anymore. Whom I be shooting? It's all one. And I went through that for a flip, and it just lasted over there, saying, now the act is happening. I'm not acting. It is happening. And now this does not really matter what you do. And I didn't know why I was crying, but I was extremely, like, in the cushion of gladness, I was floating. And he said, that's Aurobindo. Why did he say that? But that, and then Devi was very glad. And then we came back to the dinner, but it was such a state that it just couldn't, I couldn't cross over that. I had to go out in the garden to walk, because the building, you could touch the roof. You could touch the wall, and although there was a room where big, I needed nature to hold me. Suddenly there something was very strange, and I needed out in the space to feel myself that I had a space to walk. I couldn't walk, I couldn't be in the room. Although it was very cold outside, I still went out. I didn't have much choice. For that, there was a session that they used sound. They actually worked on the root sound, and some of the sound which came over there in middle of the meridian exercise, there was exercise which was very selectively chosen for this workshop. And when we were sitting and doing after all these processes, one of them, they will come with the drum and they actually will play 2-3 inches up, apart from your body, just playing for your own hara. And then I saw him, that whoever was not sitting against the wall, he came backside and he played the drum there. Very gently. That was one time we were played in the Bach music or in a certain strategic moment. It was very well timed. Then there was producing sound together. We sat and produced sound. And that sound was also selected from different culture. Not necessarily from India, but from different culture. China, Tibet, India, primarily Asia's, this reason was there. And they had really studied to the point. We had to go through a set of Chinese meridian, more of a rubbing of, that kind of exercise, which was very quick, and we didn't have much time, so everything was very compressed. And it really made a lot of difference what he was trying to do that. So we used to meet in the morning to have a warm-up exercise and then go into meditation, then only come down to breakfast. So there was a set of things had to be finished before we were coming down to the breakfast table. Luke is in the center, and only thing I can say is to, almost after 15 years, I wanted to touch someone's feet. And it came very deep that when I was leaving, I just wanted to say thank you to him, and I thought that was the best thing I could do. After the workshop, when the managers were meeting, and they said, you guys are trained to shoot targets. Target for your company, targets for your balance sheet, target for your vision, mission, or values. You have all the time target. Now I'm asking you, what target are you shooting? And does it include everybody? Can your one arrow and all the arrows are synthesized? Are you conscious of what are you shooting? Do you feel that you are part of the larger energy field? And then the only thing I could remember was that we have in Rig Veda, Manu, is that Purusha Suktam? Rig Veda's Purusha Suktam, when we says universal being, and that it says that sun is his eyes and moon is his mind, and so on and so forth. And that was what it was ringing in my inside me when he was just saying that. But in whole of the processes, spirituality was not talked in the level of thought. It was not talked about even the matter of fact to be discussed and referred into the book. But it was talked in a perspective that it just said it's as real as your own body. And it is as crucial as anything else. And then this cultivating this whole sense of offering, or there's no word called surrendering and things like was not there. It was just not there. There is a vocabulary which we are used to, it was not there. But what the content it was, that everybody was, when we stood there, he said, reach the center of the earth. I said, center of the earth is too big, you know, like we are not even this much. But he said, no. Visualize is the earth is just 5 times bigger than you, and the center of the earth is 1 meter down your feet. You are there. He said, yep. So most of the time we stood like that. And when we stood like that, something was there. We could stand on the beam. Even shooting, body was like this. Workshop ended with UCB director coming from India, having a session with us and saying, where do we take it onto the level of larger practical world? And there was a half day given on the session, like if Mark Lewis is talking about Auroville International Institute of Management, I feel that was the trainer said, I feel that Auroville is the place where things can be nurtured on this level. Or are we able to participate into the future management world is desperate of? Do we take that responsibility to talk about it? And I ended up making Auroville's presentation to them. Most of them are going to come also to India. Fourth day night, everybody had either their flight back or they were moving out from the farm where we were. Mark Lewis had come down to take me to spend one evening with his family, and it was great honor. Then we drove down, and I was totally like not into a state of speaking and doing much. And Mark said, you know, Uma, I had given it to her, but I really had a wish that someone from Auroville should come and experience this. And voila, that happens. Here you are. So it had really, in person, it had filled me quite deeply with all the managers which were maybe 10 times more capable than what I am and I can do. All of us were very quiet. There was a sense of retrospection. Everybody was going to their original world, but there was a sense of better grounding and looking at what actually can affect you. And looking at the possibilities that the corporate world is open to hear that. Luke and Gilbert is not going to run a workshop like that. And I said, how many companies you have? He said, should I give you the list? I said, no, I'm just asking. Do you make this workshop? He said, yes, at least once a month. And all these multinationals were, this workshop itself was very expensive, and if there was no sponsorship, I wouldn't have gone to pay some €6,000-7,000 to have a 4 days workshop. So it is, had been a, for me, a gratitude to share that, and that also made me to come and share that to all of you, because I felt, how couldn't I? And it's just a mother's wish. I don't know what she wants us to do, but if this has happened, let it be open. Thank you. Anybody has question, anything I can?
Uma, thanks very much for sharing it, and you've made it so living. You know, it's like you've really transmitted the workshop to us. But you know, the mother talks a lot about the whole thing only happening in the body. A lot of just that. That was a work right through the 60s and afterwards. And when you talked of archery, it struck me that archery was one of the most important skills of the ancient education system of Gurukul. Nothing else. Archery was the first one. I don't know what all they put into it, you know. That's a knowledge we don't have.
Right.
But
right.
That was the focus.
Right. It's
interesting that it's coming back to us now.
And it's in the metaphor. The way it was used as a metaphor. That last day when that has happened, the only thought I had, it was a thought of Arjuna from Mahabharata.
That's it.
And I felt so one with that character that I have never felt it. He was very close to me, and I could exchange notes to him, literally of that intimacy. And Arjuna says that I don't see anything else except the eye of the bird. And how couldn't I miss it? It was as simple. He didn't say that the bird was already up in the sky, tied in pretty high and already small, and the eyes of the bird could have been impossible to even locate. But he said, I just saw the whole universe of the eye of a bird. So you just shoot. What is there to think about it? It came on that particular moment when he said, what is your thought? I said, thought is this. And Luke was saying, write. So he gave, all of us had a beautiful notebook, and everybody has to write as often. No talking. The moment you have made, whatever happened to you, just write. And he says, come back to this book.
It's very exciting to see that the new consciousness expressed in the West, in the third millennium, even in this field.
This field, yes, yes.
Very encouraging,
yeah.
Very exciting.
Yes, yes. Amazing. And very...
To see that is not only in India, no, but it's...
Right. What was powerful also, that they had all the modern tools. So they knew, they were very well informed about what was happening outside. At the same time, they have invested enough time and very precious time to invest backward in what is there too for the future. So when we say that being bridge of the past and the future, I thought it was just a perfect bridge. That Gilbert as a person, as a trainer, he was a CEO in the corporate sector himself. Till the time, the age of 38 or so, he was diagnosed with a brain cancer. Doctor said 6 months. It's done for you. Life is, it's over for you. And he was meant to be living like a vegetable with a 2 serious checkup every year if he survived. And tons of medicine pills to every day to maintain his body metabolism. And he was forced to look into saying, what? If this is what, if all my work for what industry so-called, making career and life and this has been given, if this is a reward, then what else? That hit him backward. And he went, now it's all more than 10 years. He has 2 children. He married. He's not taking any of the medicine. He has written a book where had been, it is published in French. I have the book, The Fall, The Rising Fall, something he says. And he has sent that copy or English translation for look at that if India is interested in publishing that book. So he says, I come from a corporate world. I have been a very successful CEO, young CEO who drove everybody, make success, this and that and that. I didn't realize that what I was taking as a pressure from handling my own board of directors. When he talked about that, and the Luke who holds the whole metaphoric vision of reality, and he's constantly saying, you know, if you have a toothache in your body, your whole body suffers, right? It's, Luke, talk something more serious, you know, it's so simple. So then he says, if you have a pin enters anywhere, just a little thing or a bite of a mosquito, your whole body suffers, right? So we said, yeah. But he said, how it is that there is a hunger in Africa and our humanity does not suffer? What is a disconnect in our global body, which we have disconnected ourselves and live in the isolation as if the world is perfect? We are so much content with what is ours around. You totally have no idea. You have not expanded your horizon. You have not been connected because the whole global reality is a one single body, and anything happens on that planet, we are responsible. And he said, if I put a pin on your finger, it hurts, right? Whole body. I said, yeah, now I understand what you're trying to say. But that the metaphor he used constantly, he lived in that metaphor. He lived in that. He said, what society we are living in, the part of the world suffers and we don't even hear the pain. In our country, something happens, we don't even hear the pain, we don't even acknowledge the pain. What manager are we? Are we managing really? I'm asking you a very simple question. Are we managing really? Can we manage a little better? But to be able to say that, he gave that 72 hours of rigorous processing to be able to ask that. After that, I had, we all had to make a little presentation, and I presented a small steps project to them as one of the example what we do, and that was very, very nice to be in that and look at the larger reality of it.
I find often that life brings us to incredible experience like you went through. It's just that how to maintain it all the time, that's a big, big question. Now how? That's what he's doing all the time. Now he's very, very filled with that power, pass it to other people for just a few days, or even manage to get them into really, really the center of the aliveness in 1 second maybe. But it's a big task.
Yes.
To try and live with it all the time and not to get asleep.
Very good question what you said, and it had been a part of his mind, and that's why he said it's Auroville. When he said it is Auroville, he looked up to that, saying that whole laboratory is condensed. This is where whatever it is, you guys are forced to live into that atmosphere, even if you don't have a choice. And isn't it, you don't just think of the whole possibilities that it, it's, and that's what he looked up to Auroville, kind of. We talked about a lot whenever there was a time, and he would talk, ask different question, and this one of the point was in saying, he said, if Mark Lewis had been talking about AIIM, I think I should be the first one who would support it fully. And if I'm there for you guys, I will be there for you guys. That was such an unconditional offering he did. And he said, you know why I do that? Because world needs it more and more. And you need to take that share for the future. That's your mandate. Got to do it. You don't have choice. Mm-hmm. He just says it flat. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.